Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm Carrie L., and this is Carrie L.'s Heartling Show. And as I connect to as many hearts as possible, we are creating more freedom and light and love, one interview at a time. And my programs will bring you insights into the great awakening that is underway on planet Earth as we approach 2012. I'll be keeping you abreast of the latest tools available for anchoring a greater and healthier reality into your life. I'll be interviewing cutting edge experts in the metaphysical, scientific, paranormal, and spiritual. Stay tuned for the next hour as I speak with Dr. Richard Boylan, who specializes in the star visitor phenomenon and star seed children. So I'm really looking forward to this. And at the bottom of the hour, if you want to call in with your questions, you are welcome to do so. And if you're on the Internet, and you probably are, you will see the 800 numbers available to call in. But for now, just take a moment, and I'd like to give a blessing for the day. It comes from the Gayatri Prayer. Let us meditate on that effulgent light from which the whole universe is projected. May this inner sun enlighten our minds and hearts, and may we awaken as that light. And take in a deep breath and allow the sacred love to flow through you now. So you're listening to Carrie L.'s HeartLink, and I'm Carrie L., and I'm a transpersonal counselor and educator. And you can go to my website to learn more about what I do by going to www.heartlinkinstitute.com. I offer classes and workshops and counseling. So, and check out, obviously I have archives on my radio show. So that is there available. And I just want to also extend an appreciation to BBS Radio. These are the people who are making my radio show possible. And they do a fantastic job. And Seth, if you're listening there, I want to thank you so much for all the work that you've done. And of course, Don Newsom as well. So, and now, without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest. That's Dr. Richard Boylan. And I've been looking forward to this show. And you can go to the information, by the way. It's up under show information. And it gives his website as well. So, and that's www.drboylan.com. Dr. Boylan is president of the Star Kids Project Limited. It is a nonprofit educational and training program for young and mature star seeds. He speaks about star kids, and he's written a book called The Emerging Cosmic Generation. And I believe there is a free PDF file for people, and I'll let Dr. Boylan tell you about that. And he is a behavioral scientist, has his PhD. He also, there's a long list here, an anthropologist, as well as a university associate professor, emeritus, a certified clinical hypnotherapist, consultant, and researcher. So, without further ado, Dr. Boylan, welcome to our show.
Good afternoon, Carrie. Nice to be here.
Yeah, I am so, like I said, I really have been looking forward to speaking with you. You know, you're famous. You've been around a long time, and I got involved, back in the 90s in ufology, and you were well known then, and when did you start in this whole area of ufology?
Well, let me give you a very short bio as it touches on the UFO side of things. As you say, I've been around for a fairly long time, and I was 8 years old in 1947 when the Roswell Starship crashed, and headlines blurted out, Army recovers flying disc. And then, of course, they took it back the next day, but too late. The cat was out of the bag. And I thought, neat, there's people from outer space here. That's kind of interesting. And then I was in eighth grade at the time of 1952 when UFOs flew over the nation's capital night after night in the July of that year. And big photos and scream headlines on the front page, the lead story of our local newspaper and most papers in the United States. So this was before the UFO cover-up, so I was already on board that this stuff was real before, in the next year of 1953, they decided to invent the UFO cover-up and start denying and debunking this stuff. Fast-forwarding to 1977, I was hiking with a buddy in the hills above Marin County, north of the Golden Gate Bridge, and saw my first UFO. Skidding across the cloudless blue sky, silvery disc, and there's not, as they say, nothing like seeing one for yourself to kind of end the debate about whether their UFOs are real or not.
Mm-hmm.
Then fast forward to 1989. I had been at that point many decades as working as a counselor and psychotherapist, and this was the first year that people started to come in, and usually they had some other thing they want to talk about first, but after they tested me out, they get around to the subject of that they'd had an encounter with somebody from not Earth, a star person, and I was read up enough on the subject from my own UFO exposure to be able to converse intelligently with them. And, of course, as a psychologist, I had already screened them that there was no mental illness involved, and these were solid citizens with responsible positions in our society. So they had nothing to gain by making up such a story and feeding it to a psychologist in a setting where it would not they be repeated, or at least they would not be identified with the account. So I was intrigued by this and began to make a point of putting word out in my community that if there were others who wanted to come forward with their experiences, I was open-minded to hear them out. And come forward they did. I certainly now worked with well over 500, probably closer to 1,000 people such. And the vast, vast majority are of sound mind and reporting actual events. In the course of working with these people, I have come to notice that as they went on in their lives, they had children, and these children were more advanced, brighter, they grew up faster, they had a number of psychic abilities, and they seemed to have an unusual openness to the space, the cosmos, and interest in space, and in more than a few cases, the experiencer would report that their child had come up to them and say, I love you, Mommy and Daddy, but you're not my real parents. They're out there, and point up to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning these kids, in these instances, had lived a previous lifetime as a star being on another planet in another solar system. And when they incarnated here, enough of their consciousness from their previous existence came through in their living as a human that they were able to retain memories of their previous life, as well as, of course, tracking their current human life. This fascinated me no end, and I put two and two together along with the many reports of star visitors visiting humans, and in a number of instances borrowing some reproductive material and doing something with it that the human didn't quite understand, and then putting it back in. And what occurred, we deduce now, was what we would call gene splicing. Because these children they subsequently had were much more advanced, what I call star kids. These star kids happen in two main ways, one of which I already mentioned, the incarnational route, where a star being comes in and inhabits a human body and goes through a human lifetime, but keeping some of their previous star being consciousness and abilities. But the other way is this gene splicing route, where these star kids that are born have upgraded genetics. They're brighter, more psychically attuned, cosmic-minded, and have a number of interesting other attributes. So that has been the focus of my project, to start a Star Kids project and focus on education and doing workshops and writing articles, getting the word out to people that star beings are real, that these Star Kids exist, and of course they're not always kids. They grow up and they become starseed adults. And while this phenomenon has been around in a small way for over 60 or 70 years, the real wave of star kids coming in has been in the last few years, roughly around, 1989 I started tracking this, and then I noticed it really started mushrooming in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. The star kids are a transformative force in our society, and starseed adults, they're operating at a different level than ordinary humans, and as they become numerically the majority, we are going to see a transformation of our society. So I'll take a breath here and pause with that introductory biography.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, thank you for that. That gives us a lot of hope then. And we'll certainly need that at this point in our shifting, our ascension process. And so if I understand you correctly, are the indigo children a part of that as well, or how do you distinguish between, can you give us some more descriptors as to what makes a star kid?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'm not the only person who's noticed these children. Some other people who've been noticing these kids have come up with various labels for them. One person developed the indigo label. Another person developed crystal.
The indigo children, from what I understand, have kind of a ADD label attached to them sometimes, and so is that correct, or how do you see that?
No. The people that developed, the first people that developed these labels were not behavioral scientists or therapists. They noticed the kids were different, but they apparently stumbled on a few kids who were kind of behavioral problems and generalized that was part of the package, and it isn't. There's nothing about being a star kid that requires that you have behavioral problems or a rotten attitude or neurological disorders where you can't sit still in a chair. That simply is not an intrinsic part of the star kid package. So
would it possibly be that they're bored, and that perhaps that's the reason they're staying?
Well, yes. Many of these kids get these labels in school from a teacher who's not a psychologist, or a pediatrician who's not a psychologist, that the teacher refers the kid to. These kids have a different learning style. They do what I call matrix learning. They don't follow in a linear pattern, and frankly, a lot of them get bored waiting for the teacher to prattle on in a simplistic way about the subject when they not only can get it really quickly, but their mind is busy making connections to other subjects. And if they pipe up and say something like to the teacher, like, well, gee, you're talking about a math problem here, and that kind of reminds me of what I saw on television about rocket trajectories to the nearest planets and how they use equations.
So they're
off on what looks like a tangent, but it makes perfect sense to them because they're just making meaningful applications mm-hmm. of the subject. And the teacher, you know, raps on her desk and says, "You're out of order. We're here talking arithmetic, not astronomy or rocket science. So let's get back to the subject." And these kids get in trouble because of the way their minds work. They're much more nimble and multiplex in the way they process information. And so they get labels like attention deficit disorder or hyperactivity disorder or both. Or if they get totally bored and turn inward and become more reflective and use their telepathic abilities to try to tune into people instead of talking out loud, they get mislabeled autistic in some cases. So, you know, our society is very quick to throw labels on anything that doesn't look very ordinary and wasn't the case in the last generation. But these kids, you can't use the old rule book on them. They have to be evaluated within their own terms for who they are.
Mm-hmm. I would think they'd be interested in multidimensionality. And you know, they're so far advanced in terms of what really exists out there that and inside themselves that you know the other people are still caught up in linear thinking.
Indeed, well, some of these kids can see across dimensions, and they can see people from other dimensions that are trying to get close and visit, but aren't quite breaking through into 3D solid, and yet they can kind of see them, and in many cases their parents can't, and they think the kid's making up a story if they tell them they see somebody in the corner of the room, for example. Mm-hmm. You asked a little earlier about some of the characteristics of these star kids, and let me rattle off a few here, and then if there's an interest, we can go into one or other of them in greater depth. Mental telepathy is generally found in almost all these star kids. Precognition, knowing the future. Telekinesis, moving objects by mental concentration. What the old-fashioned word was clairvoyance. The modern military intelligence people like to call it remote viewing, the ability to see things that are away at a distance in space or to see backwards or forwards in time. And get information and then come back to your present self loaded with that information. Getting information from star beings downloaded into your mind, often while the star kid is asleep. Being good at cross-species communication, for example, a child knowing what their pet is trying to say, or talking with the dolphin at a SeaWorld. Some of them have very, what I call, penetrating intuitiveness, just knowing something without being told. They can size up a person or a situation without much exposure to it at all. These kids often can affect electrical devices. Maybe the television gets fuzzy when they walk by, or they blow out an orange street light. Sodium vapor street light when they walk by. They have the ability to use their mental telepathy to put thoughts in other people, to kind of remote influencing them, like maybe to put the idea in mom's mind that she's feeling good today and she's going to offer them a second helping of dessert. As you mentioned, they have some ability to view between dimensions. they can see auras around other people, and some of them are good enough to notice colors in those auras and even to pick up the information about how the other person's health is doing, or, you know, whether they're feeling in a good mood or not. They can read other people's energy fields, and they can diagnose other people's bodies for whether they have an illness or not, or if so, where it's located. They can do healing, too, using psychic means, not ordinary medicine. Sometimes they can make themselves invisible. Often this is more a mental kind of invisibility than a physical. In other words, they can make themselves so the parent doesn't happen to notice them sitting there, perhaps around homework time. Teleportation, moving an object from one location to another, or making an object come back that's lost to a location, like, say, on your dresser. Some will levitate off the ground. I had a mother tell me about her daughter, who was then 6 years old, who was into meditation already, a very advanced kid. You can imagine a six-year-old meditating, but mother came by her room one day, and when she was sitting there cross-legged meditating, and then she noticed the daughter was about 3 inches off the floor, so she
wow.
knew that she had the gift of levitation as well.
Awakening her kundalini at 6 years old.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Some of these kids have a real mission sense towards things like trying to heal the earth by doing energy adjustment work or healing other people, as we've mentioned. They have some ability to manipulate time, to either contract time and make it go by faster, or dilate time and make it go by slower, depending on what they'd like the situation to be. For example, on a trip and you need to get someplace and you're late and you can't afford to speed and get a ticket, but somehow you get there on time. Some of these kids are quite sensitive to earthquakes or other human disasters like car crashes coming up, and feel it ahead of time and are sometimes in a position to warn others about it.
Wow.
They can do often out-of-body travel, go somewhere out of their body but with their moving consciousness and visit and then come back. Some of them can serve as a communication intermediary for star beings or other people, or sometimes a person who's departed who wants to get a message back to a loved one who's still alive.
Etc. I have a feeling it could go on quite a while. And if one wants to know more about this, I know you have information on your website, and I know you have the PDF file for this book that you wrote. Why don't you give us that information and let people actually read about it?
Yes, very good. The basic website I have is drboylan.com, drboylan.com. And then within that, if you go to the, if you want to read my Star Kid book, The Star Kids, The Emerging Cosmic Generation, it's free online in PDF file form. You can download it or read it on your computer at your choice. And the web address for that is drboylan.com/StarKidsPDF. And that will get you to the file, and it'll give it a second because it's a whole book, obviously, and to open up, and then you can page by page read it and turn the pages. And I promise you, you will get more information there than you ever imagined was available, and you will become highly knowledgeable about the Star Kid phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, too, what I use the word Star Kid a lot because that's where I notice this phenomenon, but there are ever so many starseed adults. The only reason I don't call adult star kids is because they're not kids anymore. They're grown-ups. So.
Mm-hmm.
But the same things I've said about the star kids are absolutely applicable to these starseed adults, and there are millions and millions of them.
Well, now that brings up my next question. Are you a star kid?
Well, I used to be, but a long time ago I crossed the 18-year-old line, and I'm a starseed adult. But I am what you call the old model, meaning I was born in 1939, and frankly, when the star visitors were doing the gene splicing, I don't know if they ran the recipe a little thin or they used a little less helping of genes than they're doing with the star kids, because I strain to do things like telepathy. I'm pretty good at intuition, energy, and aura reading, but there's some things I just really strain at. And these star kids, you know, right out of the box, you know, fourth graders can run circles around me with their psychic abilities. I compare it to a Model T Ford trying to keep up with a Maserati Italian race car. So the later generation star kids, say from the late 80s, 90s, and certainly into this century, are a much richer recipe, shall we say. Mm-hmm. They are much more solidly gifted. So the new models are not to be compared with us old model starseeds.
Well, and I'm glad you said that you struggle, because I do, and I'm thinking, wow, it sounds like they really are accelerated. And but I do have some capacities, and I do think that many of us adults do have them, and we can strengthen them by practice, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if I can make a pitch for on my website, there's another entry under the Star Kids Starseed section, Psychic Exercises for Star Kids and Starseeds. One exercise for every one of the abilities I've mentioned. So if people want to go there and practice these and build up their psychic muscles, as you suggest, that's how you get better at it.
Excellent. We'll do that. I'll get my students to do that. because, you know, I get them to do all sorts of telepathic and remote viewing exercises. So,
good for you. We need to break everybody out. This needs to become normal.
Well, and I'm here to say, Richard, I'm attracting kids now, or teenagers.
You know why, Cariel?
What?
I'll tell you why. One thing I've picked up from my research is that star kids and star seeds put out an energy field that's much larger than the average human energy field. And it also has a different kind of quality or flavor to it than the average human energy field. And another star kid or star seed going by picks up on that, and they home in on it because it's like, you know, home folks.
Mm-hmm.
And they resonate with that, and they are drawn literally towards the person who is a fellow starseed energy kind of person. So I'm not surprised these kids glom onto you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and it's beautiful to see a parent encouraging that, you know. And again, my students, you know, and their children are starting to come together to my classes. And it's like, okay, now I can see how this starts to build the energies, and I'm just going to go with it. You know, if we get kids, and that's great. At any rate, the one story that just stood out in my mind when I read that ebook online was about a mother talking about her star kid, and something to do with the child actually healing a rabbit, I think it was. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us that story.
Well, they had an animal that was feeling ill, and actually there's several of these I have, so I sometimes have trouble keeping them all straight. But the animal was feeling quite ill and kind of being given up on, and everybody assumed the animal was headed for death's door. But this child took it under her wing, so to speak, and focused a lot of healing energy on it, and kept at it. And soon enough, this animal's health was restored, and they started to feel completely whole again. I've had kids dealing with dead plants. You know, the plant unfortunately had been neglected or whatever, it just didn't make it and keeled over, lost all color, bent in half, and flower head towards the ground, and looking lifeless and dry. And the child worked on it and worked on it, sometimes several days of pouring healing energy in. And lo and behold, the plant comes back to life and starts to send out green shoots and starts going again.
Mm, wonderful.
So these gifts are, as I tell people in my workshops, you know, not for show-off purposes. They're for social good and for the healing the Earth's environment and, of course, our fellow living creatures, animal and plant around us. And if we could share the wealth with these psychic abilities and the ability to harness good energy for a good purpose, then that's what we should be doing. That's the right thing mm-hmm. to be doing with these gifts.
Well, and unfortunately, our education system is, well, what can I say? If we only had an education system, as David Icke would say, what do teachers who might be listening to this show, what tips can you give them for helping, and what advice would you like to give them?
Well, yes, I've talked to several teachers about this, and I asked them, especially ones who have been teaching for a number of years, decades, are today's kids like the kids when you started teaching 20 years ago? Oh, no, they're quite different. Boy, they're really advanced. And then I asked them, why do you think that is? Well, they scratch their head. They don't know. So I guess my first suggestion would be to teachers and parents, for that matter, is get educated. Learn all you can about Star Kids. That article on my website, 42 Signs That a Child May Be a Star Kid, is a very good kind of beginning place to tell you a bit about it. The book, of course, will give you a complete serving of information.
Mm-hmm.
The Star Kid Starseed Identification Questionnaire, 54 yes-no questions, attributes of a Star Kid or a Starseed adult. I suggest the teacher take it for herself, just for kind of practice and to see all the 54 different attributes so they know what they're to be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And to realize that when a kid comes up with one of these odd quirks, as our ordinary society might say, to not think of it as a quirk, think of it as a new emerging ability, and to get comfortable with it and to encourage it instead of to stigmatize it or make it voodoo or forbidden or stop doing that, Johnny, go to the cloakroom. You know, we don't need that kind of a reaction. We need a nurturing, encouraging reaction. These kids are literally Spirit's gift to us as we to transform our society, and we need to let them blossom, not suppress them. Then if the teacher wants to go the extra mile, let psychic exercises for Star Kids. You can look at those. They can just be fun games. You don't have to say these are psychic exercises, boys and girls. They can be fun games. Kids love to play games. So, if you put a geometric symbol inside a sealed envelope and then have all the kids in the class stare at it for a minute and then try and guess. Make the game, see inside the envelope and see what's in there, and then have them share their answers. So, already they're on their path towards remote viewing.
Richard, I don't know if you're following the news lately. A man in Florida, a teacher, was suspended because he was accused of wizardry. Can you believe it? I mean,
in Florida, I certainly can. There are parts of Florida that would give the Deep South Bible Belt a run for its money.
I'm concerned about the education.
Voodoo, yes, I believe that they would throw those kind of scare words.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's more the case. That's kind of around the country. That's what concerns me.
Well, I think on the left and the right coast, people make a little more room for this. You know, you think of movies like Sixth Sense, or there's been a couple other movies. That I'm trying to think of the name of that movie that showed these kids levitating building blocks with their minds. It was totally charming. Anyway, Hollywood is putting a little bit of this out.
Mm-hmm.
Now people say, "Oh,
well,
that's Hollywood."
Harry Potter is a great movie.
Oh yeah,
series.
But that's supposed to be fiction and entertaining fiction. Everything's safe if it's fiction, but if you say it's real, that jars people's paradigms. But you know, the trouble is with this generation coming in of star kids and the star seeds that have grown up and have some of them are placed in the positions of power and influence in industry, media, government, intelligence, and military, and so forth. I guess if I were going to be hard-nosed, I'd say to people, get over it. There's a transformation going on right under your feet, and you can stick your head in the sand and try and ignore it, but it's going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. How much better to get on board and cruise with it and watch what these people do and lend your own good energy to the transformation our society that they're helping make happen.
Can you point out any famous adult star seeds that might be, you know, celebrities that we would all know?
Oh, well, as they say on radio, glad you asked that question. Because you're a nice lady, I'm going to give you the answer here. Probably more than you would like to hear, but we'll try and pick the ones that are kind of household
words. That's the beauty of internet radio.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll start off kind of alphabetically. Apollo 11 astronaut Buzz Aldrin.
Ooh.
And his buddy Apollo 11 astronaut Neil Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Roseanne Barr. Bono of the Irish rock band U2. David Bowie, speaking of musicians. All the main character kids in that wonderful movie School of Rock are star kids. All the musician players, and indeed the grown-up star that was their teacher is also a starseed adult. Dakota Fanning and her sister Elle Fanning, they were children stars. I guess they're starting to get into their teens now. But Albert Einstein, there's a no-brainer, to make a bad pun. Obviously, starseed. Jodie Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Mandela, president of South Africa. Gandhi, another no-brainer.
Would Tesla be another?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina Jolie.
Ooh.
You know, you think of her as the hot-lipped star, but
what
is she
hero.
Doing in her spare time? She's working with refugee kids and starving kids in third world.
Yeah.
Typical starseed behavior.
Yeah.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. John Lennon. We're talking about peace and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Marley. For the athletic members of our radio audience, Houston Rockets NBA basketball star Yao Ming. The singer appreciators among us, Alanis Morissette. Throw one in the mix here. United States Senator and current presidential candidate Barack Obama. Keanu Reeves. Sally Ride, the first lady astronaut. Carlos Santana. Princess Diana. Mother Teresa. And last but not least, I mean, there's many more here, but I'll just finish up with Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, wonderful.
So you can see, you know, these people are, and I won't tell you they're all woken up star seeds either. Many of these people are, you know, they're obviously very bright and large-hearted and have a social betterment mission right built into their genes. But all of these people are not necessarily aware that they have had visits by star visitors or that they have advanced abilities because of star heritage. Some of them have. John Lennon's talked about being visited. Roseanne Barr came out as an experiencer on her own radio show when I was a guest on there, and somebody grilled her after she had all this experience on the show. Hey, Roseanne, how about you? And she sheepishly added that she, too, indeed was one. So some of these folks are aware and some are not aware, but I think if you kind of notice them, you'll see a kind of energy and action with them that kind of gives the people a 3D idea of what a starseed looks like in action.
Well, now, you mentioned that we are going to have more star kids in the government. Hallelujah. I mean, certainly no time like the present. My concern with that, though, is that the shadow government is quite well aware of the star kids that are growing up now. What would you? What's going on behind the scenes that we need to know about, and how do we protect our star kids?
Yeah, well, you're quite right. The shadow government, or cabal, as I like to call them, are more than aware of these kids and have been for some time, and the starseed adults too. In fact, they have, through their information sources, a complete list of all the star kids and star seeds. One of the dirty things they do, more than a little, is after a person has had a visit from a star visitor, they have the ability to track that with their global satellites and energy sensor systems and a lot of advanced technology that isn't supposed to exist but does and is in their hands. And they follow that up with having some of their mercenaries come in on a silenced anti-gravity helicopter and offload and pick up the person, drug them, hypnotize them, rough them up, give them a thoroughly unpleasant experience, and then hypnotize them that to misremember it as the star visitors did it to them, and then dump them back in their bed.
Stephen Greer mentioned, and they're called MILABs.
Well,
right?
MILABs is a label for these military abductions. It's kind of shorthand for that whole unsavory practice of these pseudo alien abductions, actually done by military intelligence mercenaries on the cabal's payroll as a terrorist exercise. So that's probably one of the grimmer aspects. In other ways, the cabal sends out oily-tongued recruiters to schools and other settings and tries to recruit these kids, tries to get their parents to let them come to an all-expenses-paid-free, highly advanced educational experience, or pulls young adults out of psyche training institutes like, let's say, the Monroe Institute, and gets them on the side and says, you think this stuff's good, we can show you much more, it won't cost you a dime, in fact, you'll make very handsome amounts of money and have access to the very latest equipment, and we'll turn you into a psychic superstar. In other words, they try to bring them over to the dark side, which is indeed where the cabal operates, and try to get them to work for them doing dirty psychic deeds with their talents. So obviously none of us wants to see our little Luke or Skywalker become a Darth Vader. That whole Star Wars drama has some very real parallels in the real world going on now. Our little Jedi Knight star kids can go to the light side, or theoretically can go to the dark side, and there certainly are people out there trying to get them over to the dark side. So parents need to be aware of this, that this isn't fairy tale stuff that exists. It goes way beyond, don't talk to strangers or, don't take candy from strangers. This has to do with watching when kids are given tests at school, where the results go, question the principal if it's IQ or any kind of advanced abilities test. Because I know from my own experience, this is back in the 60s, when they were a little cruder at it. They used to go around to schools with a what they call a tachistoscope. It was a machine that flashed a page of text up on a screen very rapidly for only several seconds and then off. And they wanted to see what kids could speed read. And they used that as a rough marker for high intelligence and an ability to kind of intuitively absorb the whole page at once instead of reading it line by line like the regular kids would. And they used that to kind of identify these star kids, and later on, if they thought they could get away with it, try to recruit them. Mm-hmm. So find out where tests are going. Unfortunately, I'm afraid in some cases some of the shadow government folks infiltrate inside of regular government won't really be forthcoming with it. They'll tell the school people something about these, you know, special education department project when it's really a front for some cabal unit. Hmm. But, you know, try and be aware if you can of where results are going. And
now you mentioned,
and certainly anybody who tries to approach your kid or approach the parent with a dynamite offer, all expenses paid, you know, be more than a little wary and ask lots of questions.
Mm-hmm. And as early as possible, see if you can guide your child towards a spiritual awakening. Eckhart Tolle's classes, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one thing I didn't mention yet is exactly that, that one of the strong aspects of these children is their intrinsic spirituality, a very deep spirituality, natural. It doesn't have to be mm-hmm. taught to them. Mm-hmm. And it's not a church-going Sunday kind of spirituality. It's a spirituality that understands the sacredness of spirit embedded in nature and people and life all around, and
it's a first-hand experience with the source, and
yes.
not being controlled by the church, and that's
yeah,
the
and understanding, much like the Native Americans do, of the sacredness of life force in all of nature, and because of that, these kids are natural environmentalists. Nobody taught them, you know, Earth Day. They would no more get destructive with plants or animals than they'd hack at their own arm. They understand the sacredness that is embedded in all of reality and nature, and try to behave accordingly.
Well, you know, we have about 10 minutes left. I want to make sure that we do talk about the cabal a little bit, and then of the different star races involved with our planet. Can you give us just a brief background? Because you've mentioned the cabal several times, and some of the listeners may not know what we're talking about.
Oh, sure. That's only fair. The cabal are basically what I call the geoplutocratic cartel that think they're running the Earth. Geoplutocratic being a fancy word for the rich guys, the super rich guys. We're not talking people with a couple of million. We're talking people with anywhere from hundreds of millions up to trillions of dollars, trillions being the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and a few other folks, who make a practice of misusing their wealth to corrupt, to buy power, to control not only governments, but who... not only who gets elected, but who even is allowed to run for office. And anybody who's in their way, they buy out, or they have strong-arm goons who can go in and make life miserable for someone until they do it their way. And they're used to getting their way, and they've set themselves up. They've been at this a long time, and they're used to getting their way. So they've set themselves up in positions of power in government, in finance, media, newspapers and television. They own or control all of the substantial ones. they have their people infiltrated into military and intelligence, and well-placed people here or there who are sort of invisible because they look like anybody else working in that organization, only they really answer to a different master, that network of all of this makes up a, as you call it, a shadow government, a unseen but very powerful organization that is bent on aggrandizement of itself and keeping everybody upset, disempowered, and chasing their tails with gratuitous wars, economic roller coaster up and downs, and waves of joblessness, and a lot of scare stuff, pitting religious and cultural prejudices of one group against another. And the idea is to divide and conquer, keep people pitted against each other so they can sit on top and laugh at the whole circus and continue their easy lifestyle.
While they continue having an easy lifestyle and have zero-point energy devices, apparently.
Yes.
They've had a cover-up.
Suppressing that technology from the general people. You know, we fret about global warming and pollution and kick ourselves for having to run around in gasoline-burning cars when in the basement of the Pentagon, Dr. Michael Wolf of the National Security Council told me they have zero-point energy device already operational. One of these, let's say about the size of a refrigerator, could power a small village. No moving parts, no emissions, not even heat, and endless supply of electrical energy that all we could use. Pulled right out of what looks like thin air, but is actually a highly energized and resonant environment that some of our advanced physicists are now graciously conceding exists and are even tinkering with and trying to figure how it is put together. But on the cabal side, they have bought the best scientists available and have even stolen some Star Visitor technology from saucers they've shot down, and have gotten this perfected and use it in their weapon systems, but they're not about to share with the other boys and girls. So we still run around in gasoline-powered cars while they sit on top of this clean, infinite energy source.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's certainly, once things do get exposed, what is our future going to hold for us? I guess I know that it's going to happen. At some point, just the floodgates are going to open at some point. And I do hope it's done with, you know, some kind of semblance of sanity, that we forgive, you know, these sinister forces because they didn't know any better, because they really... We need to get focused on how to then go forward with civilization and keeping life going on the planet Earth and entering the galactic family at some point. And so we really need to get off of you know, our petty arguments back and forth, us and them kind of thing, and let's strive forward and join the many star races that are just waiting to welcome us into the family of this wonderful galactic universe that we are in.
Well, that's an eminently reasonable position. The only trouble is that the leadership and much of the ranks of the cabal are hardened sociopaths, psychopaths, to put it a little less generously, and extraordinarily narcissistic, selfish people, ruthless and savage, and are not going to be sweet-talked with sweet reasonableness into meeting us halfway. They're going to go down kicking and fighting and screaming and biting the whole way.
And what is that way, and what do you see on the horizon? Are we going to get some help, I guess, is my question.
Well, we're already getting some help from Star Nations.
Explain
we,
that.
We have to do the heavy lifting, however. It's our planet, our society. Star Nations are not going to come in like the 7th Cavalry and ride to rescue and kick all the cabal's rear ends.
That's not their style, I know.
No. we've got to do that.
Yeah.
But they are doing things like reaching out and downloading information to many starseeds placed in various positions about who the cabal infiltrators are in their organization so they can out them and marginalize them and not let them have influence any longer. One very unsung hero in this opera is Brigadier General Shadow.
Shadow?
That's his code name.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, how appropriate.
Ex-NSA intelligence officer and soldier. He makes special forces look like a kindergartner. And his group are out there doing operations, dismantling cabal operations that have infiltrated various military bases and are holding Star Visitors prisoner. There's been about 7 liberations so far, and there's more coming.
Wonderful.
Starseeds are in position government. I have knowledge of a couple in even our current White House who are trying to swim against a very dark tide and get some good things going or some bad things prevented. You know, they're salt-peppered in media and even Hollywood and other in schools and colleges, a professor here and there who's willing to step out and take chances.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, and it sounds like there is a positive effort, underground effort going on here.
Yeah, but we need a lot more recruits. We need people to step up to the plate and realize hope is there, changes are happening. It may not be highly visible yet. You're not going to read about it in the paper at this time. But it's happening, and everybody needs to, you know, take a deep breath and join in the effort.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and I'm going to give you a 1 minute to say whatever else you would like to say. Again, announce your website so people can go there.
Okay, I'll do that quick, and then another little tidbit for folks. The website for about everything we said today is www.drboylan.com, D-R. BOYLAN.com. One group of folks we haven't mentioned besides the various star nations, star races that are here trying to quietly help and communicate with courage star seeds, star kids. There's another whole set of folks underground that we've been taught are mythological but aren't. The inner earth peoples that are quite intelligent and advanced.
The Agartha? Is that the...
Well, Sasquatch, some tall giants, people we might call fairies or elves, even the little orbs that are starting to allow themselves to show on people's photographs, those little white energetic circles that people say, I must have a blemish on the film. No, you don't. You and 10,000 other people?
No, I've taken pictures with orbs. So
yeah, they're real, too. The orb poke, intelligence is little gentle floating packages of energy and intelligence and personality. All of these folks are starting to come out of the closet, and don't be surprised if people start seeing them approach and make themselves visible and waiting for us to reach out a friendly hand back so that we can stop this standoffishness bred by the cabal, who spent centuries teaching our ancestors that these people don't exist.
Okay, and with that note, I am so honored to have had you, Dr. Boylan, and people. You have been listening to Dr. Richard Boylan, and he's been sharing some incredible information. I also recommend the archives with Stephen Greer and Dr. Michael Salas, some good information that supports what Dr. Boylan has said. And I'm so glad we've been able to connect and broaden our horizons towards more freedom, light, and love. And thank you, Dr. Boylan.
Pleasure, Carol. Have a great night.
And thank you, people. And listen next time when we'll have Philip Gardner, who will be speaking about the Bond Code. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.